Welcome back to part two, the interview with Alex that continued on the previous episode linked in the description. If you want to make sure that you've listened to that first, then head there and listen to that first half an hour or so of our discussion. And here is the second half of the Single Girl's Guide to Life interview with Alex. I hope you enjoy it.
But the one thing I would say is, like, when I turned around and cried at my mum that I wasn't happy in my relationship anymore, my mum tried to convince me to stay the course. She said, try and do all the things. And I was like, mum, I just know, like, in my gut is telling me that I need to walk away. And she did, like most mums. But about a year ago, my mum turned around and said it was the best thing I ever did. Took her a few years to realise, but she was like, you've grown as a person. You're much more back to the person you were as a child. You've grown exponentially. She was like, you're running a business. You've taken on your sister. She's like, I'm so proud of you, because you never would have done that had you have stayed and listened to me.
It's so hard to leave long-term relationships and the compromise you do find yourself in. And literally just yesterday I was at a family party, and that's the first time they've ever been able to ask me questions about my separation, just because of COVID and actually situations when you're at different parties don't make sense to. But they finally said, like, what was it all about? But within that conversation, they were like, but you didn't just leave the relationship, did you? You actually rebuilt all of your life. And we have that similar experience in that
you know,
we both happened to have gone into business elements, but it's that idea of it wasn't just this identity crisis per se of being in the relationship. It was everything that went with it, and the exploration and the finding out who we were as part of that. And it's hard to see at the time because there's so much value in a relationship, a long-term one that looks to be working on the surface especially, but underneath it's, what's the questions I'm going through? Am I happy? What's making me actually upset about this? And if you're getting to a point where your tears are flowing, then what's the repeated pattern that keeps causing that? And what needs to change to make it? I put it down to the quarter life crisis kind of stuff. I don't know if you align with any of that, but very much like, I don't think I want what I've been told to want. And even this person isn't horrible, or they may have been with the elements that you mentioned and referenced. Maybe it wasn't that nice an experience, but it's something that I need to start and get rid of and start again and try different things out.
Like, when I listened to the episode about the quarter life crisis and that, I was like, that is exactly what I went through. It might be a bit later than my quarter, but that is what I went through. I literally went through a crisis of, who am I as a person? What am I doing with my life? Why am I fighting to keep something going that wasn't enriching my life? I think that's the best way to put it. That relationship was no longer enriching my life. Like, why am I fighting for all of these things and none of them are making me happy? And I did have, like, when I made that decision, I was like, right, am I going to live with someone else? Am I going to live on my own? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And then I was like, I don't want to live with anyone else. Who wants to worry about someone else's washing or what someone else is eating, even like in a shared house? Like, oh, so-and-so hasn't done the washing up, or so-and-so's used all the hot water. Like, I was like, I don't want to be dealing with any of that. And I was like, do you know what? The only thing that I get really frustrated about, and I know you've done an episode on this as well, is the financial implications of being a single person on your own. Like, everything costs more to live by yourself in a single life. Like, oh, here, have a 25% reduction in your council tax. I live by myself. Like, the people living together, they pay 50-50. They pay less than I do. So I pay privilege to live on my own. Like, there's no halving the bills. I pay everything. And I think that's the only thing that sometimes I get frustrated with, is like, I have to pay for everything. There's no kind of halves and halves, or I'll do this meal and you do that meal. And that's the only thing that I find frustrating as a single person.
Yeah. And I want to address the 25% council tax is, I don't remember the exacts now, but it's something to do with you're paying for one element and then you're paying for another element. And it's one of the second elements that you get the half off. People always go to me, but the bin still needs to come round. But like, my bin's not half as full as anyone else's. And some people are putting extra bags out. I suppose the only flip side to that we've got right now is the winter discount thing that they've brought in goes per household. So my £66 is basically covering that bill. I don't know what it would be like when the heating actually goes on. But for a you know, a house that has got 2 to 4 adults in, that's just going to be scratching the surface. So yes, I mean, I suppose there's a swings and roundabouts, and it's a very few times that we've had on this.
I literally had that conversation with my mum because we were talking about energy bills, and I said, you know what, for the first time ever, I feel like I'm winning as a single person. Like it's the first time, like I get no, being a single person and a business owner, I don't get any help whatsoever, like nothing at all. So when they were like, oh, you only need to pay £1 a month for your electricity, because I am being a single person, I wanted to make sure that I had a buffer in my electrical account ready for the winter season. So I've been putting a little bit extra in every single month just to be on the safe side. And then obviously when they gave us this grant on top of everything, I was like, you want me to pay £1 a month because I have to pay something? I was like, for the first time ever, I feel like I've won at something being single. I don't win at anything else, but this one I did. I was like,
yeah, we've had a touch with that one. And obviously that depends on living arrangements, and we both live alone in that sense. But it's interesting to note as well what you said. It's, I think, the emphasis on when you live alone and you're single, there is a bigger emphasis on needing to save and to project forward. So not just in the winter case, in my case, I knew I wasn't going to have work, the structured work I have of supply teaching, over August, which means I haven't been paid now properly since late August. So I'm in my 2-month stint with 1 week to go. But it's knowing, did I have enough from other stuff coming in regularly from Amazon Flex, from tutoring to do that, and also stuff saved, because how was I going to get through 2 months without a consistent pay bit in the middle? But it's being aware of that as a single. It depends on what our lives are like. We're lucky enough to be able to put things away a little bit so we can counter that. But it does mean that single living alone life is not such an easy reality for everyone because of the additional costs. As you say, you pay the standing charge on gas and electric, the same as the same size house but with 2 people living in it, pay the standard charge on that. And yes, they do pay more, but the standard charge is no different unless you have a different tariff, but the general gist is it's the same. So yeah. I suppose, is there any other challenges that you find within single life that occur to you, or would you say that's the main one?
I think that's the main one, but it's that, like, not having a fallback was, like, in the pandemic with everything going on, I was like, if this goes up shit creek, I do not have a paddle, because I'm going to be paddling with my own hands, because I've not got a paddle boy behind me with his paddle and his wages. I ain't got that. I'm literally going to be like doing this all by myself. And I think that reality sometimes as a single person can be really difficult. It's like, if this doesn't work, if I don't make this work, I have got literally no fallback whatsoever. I do. I'm really lucky in, like, as you say, I've got savings. I've got savings that my mum made me put away as a child. So I do have a financial fallback in that sense. But I don't, it wasn't like a day to day, like, oh, it's been a bad day, I'll get as a takeaway. Like, if I didn't make the money, I wasn't getting that takeaway. I wasn't getting any extras and bonuses, or I don't get, like, the one thing I think I miss the most, and it's not something I ever got in my relationship, but I see it in my sister's relationship, is that, oh, I've just popped to the shop and I know you've not been feeling well, so I got you some flowers or some chocolates, or I've got you your favorite pudding. Like, those little things, when someone thinks of you when they're just doing their thing, like, I don't necessarily get that. I get a little bit from my sister, but she's got 2 children and a husband. She doesn't need to be thinking of me like that. But, like, that's the little bit, a thing I think being single is, you miss someone knowing you to just do something because they can, in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it probably comes back to the idea of being thought of. It's not a love language thing about gift giving per se. It's the thought behind someone having gone out of their way, even if it was convenience, you know, in the store going, here's this, here's that. And you do, it seems to happen more when you are in a relationship, when someone comes around for a date, they bring that chocolate bar that they know that you have, and they happen to have been in the shop at the same time. And it doesn't necessarily occur to people to do that with their friends so much, or whatnot. So maybe that's one of those things that I need to push amongst everyone to remind each people to do, because it's one of those that you can't so easily, I mean, you can say it directly to people, like, I miss that. Would you at some point just do that? You just don't want to contrive it too much because it takes away the meaning part. But I suppose if they're clever and they delay it by like 2-3 months and then pick up on it later, you'll be like, yeah, you kind of did because you've thought about it later rather than like done it day later when I said about it. Like, it was an instant action to referring back to that. A question that occurred to me though, when you were talking in terms of having backups and stuff, a really random question, but does link. Like, do you have insurance for like personal income protection or anything like that? How do you navigate that side of things? Because I don't think that's spoken about enough, and people don't even probably even know what that is, because some jobs come with backups and security, like teaching. But independently, how do you navigate that, if at all?
Yeah, it can be really, really well. When I first started out, I didn't know anything. I was a person that went, oh, I'm going to start a business. What am I going to do? But I do. So I have, like, within the business part of it, like, I've got insurances that cover myself. They cover my home. They cover my car. So I've got car business insurance now. So I did all of that. But one of the things, like, I've done in the business, like, before I brought my sister into the business, I worked really, really hard to put money away in a separate kind of pot, so that when I needed to pay her wages, I had that money set aside. And I did the same for myself. So I made sure that there is now a pot that has 2 months of her wages and my wages to do that. And one of the things relating back to being single and on your own, like, I talk to a lot of people in the business space, and a lot of them are like, you work so many hours and do this, that, and the other. I was like, well, it's my full-time job. And they're like, yeah, mine's my kind of job, because I kind of don't have to do it completely, because my partner brings in all the money and mine's just like extra money for the holidays and the kids and this and that. And I'm like, well, aren't you lucky? Like, when I do my business plan for the year, I have to look at how much does it cost me to run my life? So how much is money do I have coming into the house? What is my rent, my bills? What are my personal bills for, like, car, Netflix, having a takeaway once a month? Like, I have to work that out before I even look at anything else. Whereas they don't have to do that. Like, a lot of people, when they're running a business and they've got a partner and everything else, yes, there are some of them that have partners that do that as well, because again, they're sharing the load, but that load is going to be a lot less than mine, unless they live in London, probably. London's a whole different kind of like economic shift in itself. But if you were to live in the same city as I do and had a partner who had a 40-hour a week job, they would not be looking at the costs that I'm looking at. And I have to make sure in the business that that is always covered in all the work that we're doing all the time. And that can be very mentally taxing. Like, right, hang on, if I don't get this contract or I don't sort this out, that's going to affect, can I pay my rent, can I pay my bills, okay, what have I got to drop somewhere else, because I've got no one that's like, right, I can't do takeaways this month because I haven't got the money. I'm skin. If I'm skin, I'm skin. I've got no one going, it's all right babes, I'll get us a takeaway this month. Like, you don't have that. Like, it is very much a, you've got to look at it. And I have actually recently done a check of all my finances, because I am doing the 2023 adventures. So I'm going to be visiting 23 cities in the UK in 2023, because with the pandemic and being single, I got stuck in my four walls. I got stuck here. Because I wasn't going to see people. I didn't have someone going, should we go on holiday? Should we do this? Shall we do that? Like, I don't have that person to go on adventures with because we can. Like, oh, what are we doing this weekend? Because they don't want to sit in all weekend. I don't. So you, and I know you do this yourself, you have to actively go and have an adventure. You have to actively tell yourself to put your shoes on and get out the door. You've not got someone going, come on, get your shoes on, we'll go for a walk, we'll go for a coffee. Like, you don't have that in, like, natural encouragement. Like, you've got to kind of really push past it. So I noticed that I wasn't going and doing things. I was watching all the influencers on TikTok on their beaches and working from anywhere in the world. And I was like, I want to do that, but I don't like flying. So how can I do this my way as a single person that made me A, still feel safe and still feel secure, and so that my mum didn't panic so much, because I think if I was flying around the world, my mum would be terrified. She's not quite there yet. We'll get her there, but she's not there. And I was like, do you know what? There are some amazing cities and history in our own country. And I was like, cool, right, where can I go? What can I do? So I had to sit the other day and go, right, how much is each of my adventures going to cost me? As a rough guess, like, what's a 2-weekend stay and travel this far out going to cost me, food and all of that? And I was like, I don't know how you even have someone to share the holiday money with. Like, it was another reality again of, I've either got to save it from somewhere or make it myself. But I like that because I'm a truly independent person. And even actually when I was in my relationship, on the holidays we went on, we only went on those holidays because I went, I want to go on holiday. So, and they were like, cool, just tell me when the date is and I'll make sure I'm there. I paid for everything. I did everything. The only thing that happened is once we got there, they paid for the food. Okay. But everything else was done by me because I was like, I want to go. I want to do something. That's where we realized that the relationship started to fall down. And that was the last holiday was the catalyst, I think, for everything after that. Because I was like, well, why am I having to encourage you to want to go on holiday with me? So yeah, I had to really take like the last couple of weeks, like, right, how much am I going to need extra? So what am I going to need to earn in my business while I'm by myself? Like, what is that extra money that the business has to bring in so that I can enjoy going to some of these amazing new places?
So it sounds just like the idea around knowing that winter was coming and saving for that. It's about forward projecting, thinking carefully. You don't have to have exact numbers. You're going for rough. It's the kind of thing that I've put into the Single Girl's Guide to Solo Trips that I know you've pre-ordered. So that will hopefully help you with some cost cutting bits as well. So when you actually come to book those things. But it's interesting you say about being the one to like book the stuff, because my instant reaction was often in a relationship, I am the one to go, right, let's go do something. I think it's very easy to fall into sitting together. And there's call for that as well. Some people do just want to sit at home and chill. It's the idea of sitting and doing nothing together. But at the same time, you are looking to have little adventures, hopefully, and experiences together. And that's where you actually build part of your relationship, whether it is with friends, even. It's doing weekend long things, which is just why the getaways are in. The reason I have those and put them into the Single Girls Club is because I get value from going on Tomorrowland trips to Butlins with my old activity camp friends. And it's, you know, I haven't seen some of them probably since then, really, or briefly since, some of them I have. But I remember that time and that's what we had together. And it feels nostalgic going, like, channeling that back. But they're the memories that you create and they're the things that stick out. Not so much necessarily your weekly meetings. It depends what kind of mood you're in. But what stands out are those longer term things and the adventures, the something's a bit different and fun. Yeah. So it is about marking it in and making sure it happens.
And that's where, like, it's always hard to get out every time I say it. The 2023 started when I actually signed up to do New Year's Eve. So I decided I didn't want to do New Year's Eve on my own. I've been on my own and I've done New Year's Eve on my own for the last 4 years. I sit on the beach by my house and I watch all the fireworks, and that's lovely, but I'm always on my own. And when you were like, I'm doing New Year's Eve and you don't have to be on your own, I was like, I'm in, sign me up. Where can I go? Like, and that kind of inspired me to go, well, actually I can do these things on my own. Who's ever stopped me apart from myself? And then you were like, oh, I'm doing Galentine's as well. And I was like, oh, that's different. Okay, I can do these different things. Like, what? Why have I ever stopped myself? And then I was like, cool, I've got a business event in Newcastle. I've got a trip to near you. So I'm going back to Dibden in March. And I was like, once I started looking at where I was going throughout the year, I was like, well, while I'm there doing a businessy or personally thing, why can't I go and see what's over there? And then it kind of started at that. And then all of a sudden I was like, but I can go to all these places, I can do all these things. And it kind of grew out of the fact of I went, I challenged myself to say, well, I can go on a single girl's adventure. If I can go on a single girl's adventure, then I can go on a solo adventure and see people on the way. Like, I've lived in this online business world for so long, but I don't get to see people because we're on a screen most of the time. They live so far away. So one of my adventures is going to be going to see the girls in Wales. I'm going to go to Cardiff, but while I'm there, I'm going to take a day to go and see one of the girls. We're going to go for dinner. She's going to take me to one of the local heritage. One of the girls has got a farm, so I'm going to go and feed the lambs and the sheep. And I was like, actually, I can mix all these things that I've wanted to do for so long, as well as having an adventure. And I was like, it almost like the New Year's Eve sparked something. And I don't know what it did, but all of a sudden my brain just went, I can do whatever I like to do. Why have I stopped myself? Why? And it was brilliant. And it, like, even my mum was like, oh my gosh, what have you started, child? Again, background to that, I walked in and went, by the way, mum, I was blonde for a long time. I went, by the way, mum, I dyed my hair green. And she was like, yeah, yeah, of course you are. Turned up the next day. And I was like, oh, and she was like, oh my gosh, do you really think people are going to trust you with green hair? I was like, well, if they don't, they're not my people, mum. And like, I turned up and went, oh yeah, I'm going to live on my own. Oh yeah, I'm doing this. And oh yeah, by the way, mum, I'm leaving my stable job and I'm going to start a business. And she was like, oh, good grief. And yeah, I turned up the other day and went, I'm going on an adventure. She was like, oh gosh. Okay. Are you having some kind of midlife crisis yet? Just having fun. Like, I think if you can't have fun in your 30s when you don't have a relationship that's kind of solidifying parts of your life, why not?
I think it's very easy to fall into it, isn't it, and think that you've got to be on that trajectory, but in actual fact what you find is that this just is exponential. Like you say, for those that are listening as well, at the time of near release, we're not on the girls getaway yet. Like, that's not happened. It's literally just the booking of the New Year's Eve getaway that has then become the catalyst for going, wait, I'm going to book this and this and this. And some of those experiences, well, obviously the 23 and 23 hasn't started officially yet, but I know you've been doing some other little trips about, and you're thinking about it and setting yourself that challenge. But it seems like it's the domino effect of, oh, wait, hang on, all these things. And it comes back to the idea of redesigning your life and being who you really want to be, and not just playing to what you're told you have to be and do for this life.
Yeah, like, the phrase, like, as you said at the very beginning, the phrase I get so often, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to have kids? When are you going to? And I literally now reply with, I might adopt when I'm 40, may foster, maybe, see how it goes, how big the business is, how well she's doing, what she's doing. I don't know what's the future's going to hold, but I can categorically tell you now, after looking after 8 different godchildren and nieces and nephews, that I love with all of my heart. I also love pumping them with sugar, piping them up and walking away. But having that is not something that I can at this moment, because we never know when life's going to change. At this moment, having a child is not something that I think I will ever do. I don't think my body will... best way to phrase it. So I had an accident coming up on 12 years ago, which damaged my knee significantly. And it was just a normal accident. I was walking down the road. I fell on my knee popped out socket. It's significant damage, but that's caused long-term damage to my ankles, to my hips. And they basically said, because of the changes that naturally happen to your body, which make me freak out anyway, always has done, they were like, there's a potential for more damage to your knee that could put you in a wheelchair for life, or potentially could kill you. Let me think about this. And I said that the reality of that conversation with my mum was, do you want a grandchild or your child? Which do you want more? And my mum went, what do you mean? I went, well, there's a potential in me making that choice that, as part of the whole process of having that child, I might not make it, or I might become a dependent myself. I might have to depend on you to look after me. Like, is that something that you want? And she kind of looked at me and went, okay, you're not making this decision because you're being stubborn, which is another name I get called often. I was like, no, I'm making this decision because I like my life. I like being able to walk. I like being here. I like spending time with the nieces and the nephews. And like, it was a decision that I kind of made because I like my life and the way that it is. And yeah, the thought of being stuck in a wheelchair when I can make the decision was kind of like, okay, cool. But then I went, my mum, but I might foster children. I love children. I've been a teacher myself, as we've spoken about before. So before I stepped into the world of business owner, I trained as a teacher. I love teaching and I love children. I also like to sit alone in my house in peace and quiet and spread eagle in my bed without an invader. And it's that kind of like, why do I have to follow the trajectory of the generations before me? Why do I have to follow the, I have to find someone, get married, have kids and buy a house with someone? Why do I have, why? And I think everyone hates me because my favorite question is why. I was babysitting on Friday night. They came home and one of them went, oh, my dad just needs to get a new woman. And I was like, no. Yeah, just make him happier. Really? And he was like, he looked at me as if to go, oh God, I've just said that to the wrong person, because here she comes. And I turned around and said, well, no. I was like, how is another person going to just make him better? I was like, no, he needs to find himself. He needs to go out and find out who he is now as a father and a grandfather and find his own hobbies and his own interests, not just, hi, I'm just going to get myself into another relationship because a good woman is going to make it better. Like, and he just looked at me and I was like, oh dear, there's me, a soapbox of like, why do I have to follow a traditional route? Why do I have to be in a relationship? Why do I have to be the other half of somebody else? Am I not whole on my own?
I think that's one of those biggest misconceptions about single life, is that you have to be looking for someone and that you must be unhappy because you're not partnered up. Whether that is with or without a friend on the side as well. But yeah, it's that element of people thinking that we must be unhappy in that state. And in actual fact, you seem happy the way you are and doing the things that you're doing.
Yeah, like very often I get that. You're not looking yet. You're not trying. Like even my friends that I've repeated it to again for 5 years now, like, no, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy. And they're like, are you sure you're happy? Is it like, I literally got, and it was the hilarious thing, like I got, well, is it because you just don't go out anymore? And obviously with the pandemic, you didn't go to the pub and you didn't meet anyone because you're not big on going out in crowds and you haven't had someone that's just bought you a drink at the bar. And I'm like, no. Oh, why don't you just get yourself on Bumble or Tinder? I was like, I can't think of anything worse. Cannot think of anything worse, because for me that way of meeting people is just the same way as I meet people in business. And I'm like, I just don't want to be on my phone anymore. I don't want to be like, I don't want to be doing things that way. Like, I want to meet someone because they have a mutual interest in something, not just because they're someone I've swiped right or swiped left and found. Like, I'm very much like, yeah, I think I did dating apps probably in like the first lockdown, just out of being bored and wanting conversations with people. They weren't ever going to go anywhere. It was just interesting to see people's pickup lines. Like, I literally spent a day, my best friend thought it was hilarious. I was like, what's the worst pickup line I could find on Bumble one day? Like, it was brilliant. And I did it. And I said to them, look, I'm not interested in anything more. This is, and I again ran back to the, if you're going to be in my world, you have to accept that you're not going to be the only person I spend time with. If you don't like it, move on. You know, it's always been a very up one. I was like, I might be monogamous for a short amount of time, but at some point I'm going to get bored and I'm going to want to change something up, whether you're changing it up with me or you're not. And I think, again, that comes back to the constant communication with people, not just the people that you have long-term friendships with, the people you have short-term friendships with. Like, I've gone through quite a few friends over the last 5 years, and every single one of them has had the same level of communication. And it comes back around to that, whether it's communicating with someone at a bar, communicating with someone on an app, communicating with someone in real life, it's back to that. As a single person, you need to have a level of communication, because whether it's friendships, your best friend, your mum, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, your partner, your best friend with benefits, whoever that is, as a single person, you have to have a level of communication out and understand that those friends have got other things going on, and that you are not going to be the center of their world. And it's back to that kind of, back to my tick list of reminding myself that they have other things going on. And as a single person, communication is like the biggest, I think it's the biggest thing you really need to grab a hold of fast as a single person. I think if that was my nugget, my biggest nugget would be, like, whether you're communicating with anybody, that as a single person is going to be your key to not being lonely and not feeling alone in a world where you are alone.
Communication is useful in so many ways, whether it's reaching out to other people, to set boundaries, to get your needs met, and so much more. And I think we aren't taught skills enough in that way, because it's quite hard to teach, especially teenagers, who will question, why have we got to practice communication? It doesn't really make sense. So you can say you teach it at school, but it's contrived. So it almost has to be learnt through friends and self-development and podcasts. But as a nugget, it's a really nice way for, I think, for us to come to an end, because there's been so much in this episode. I feel like we could keep going. We're obviously not going to keep going, but there's so much in what there is, in terms of, we've gone to polyamory, we've gone into maintaining friendships, running business, living on your own, and ultimately you're kind of finishing points of, it's not all just about following that trajectory and making sure that communication is kept up. It's been lovely to have you on the podcast, and I hope all the business stuff, I can't wait to, I've met you, I know we've done that bit, but I can't wait to spend a few days with you at the getaway at the end of the year. And for anyone listening, we've still got spaces on that one and the Galentine's one, if you want to be joining us. But a big thank you to Alex for sharing all of her single life experience with us. It's slightly different to my experience, and everyone's having their own different experiences. So I hope that's given you something to think about, some different ways of doing things, and to think about your friendships, intimate friendships, and the way that you live your life. And until next time, everybody, keep celebrating single life together.